God more in this situation now as the army's marching on them. Anything else? Bob? Okay, there's that lack still. And by the way, did you notice how quickly people forget the blessings of God?
Yeah.
Okay, how quick we are. Also, did you notice that it says that the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, it said, in verse number 10. Was that the right thing to do? Huh? Yeah, that was the right thing to do. And then in verse 11, they complained to Moses. Why did you do this? So we can see that you can have this New Testament term is double-minded man. Okay, so we can become very double-minded in our ways. What else do we have before we look at the questions here for day one? Well, disobedience is sin. The wages of sin is death, all right? I think sideways sometimes too, where you bring other thoughts in. Yep. Who else? Well, let's look at question number one here. The day one was the Lord chose to fight against Pharaoh. That's a good thing, amen? I like it when my enemies are God's enemies. That's a good thing, folks. Matter of fact, David prayed that a whole lot. Question number one, why did God plan a battle? Why did God plan a battle? Who wants to hit that one? Raise your hand nice and high. Paul. Yeah, I like that, a very personal way. He wanted Egyptians to be fully committed, all right? Come on now. Sure enough. I mean, God's going to show his power in a very personal way. And remember, you have to go all the way back when Moses first arrived to talk with Pharaoh, who is the Lord that I should obey him? And God's going to say, I'm going to show you who I'm at. You ask, I'm going to show you who I am. So he's going to show his power over Egypt, which we talked about later will impact 40 years later when they go into Jericho. Question two, why did God tell Moses to lead the people back toward Egypt? Why did he have them kind of head back in that direction? Vonda. Correct. So God has them head back so that Pharaoh would think, they don't even know where they're going. They're entangled. We got them here now. Very, very good thought. Interesting. Now listen. Go ahead, Don.
He was baiting
them. He was laying the snare, if you would. The trap was open with some cheese on it. Folks, I just want you to see how strategic God is in working, listen, on your behalf and mine when trouble comes. He doesn't just do things. He's very strategic at what he's doing. And it looks like his strategic plan that he saw was not how we would see it. They got fearful because they see this army marching towards them. I just assume God opened the door and let us go exit stage right and just get out of there. But he, again, is bringing them. He's baiting them and causing Israel to lay completely down on them. You know, we used to have, when I grew up, we had seven German shepherds at one time. And they were all related. They were one litter that we had raised up and let them grow up as adults. But every one of them, as big and as bad as some of those dogs were, the mama never changed, who was an authority. And she could come up to them if they were two of the pup, I say pup, but they were full-grown shepherds. If they'd get into it over something, she could run up to there and stop, and they would both lay down. God is making, listen, he's going to make Israel lay down. Though he's going to deal with Egypt, he's still working with Israel. You have to lay down. You have to submit and rest in me. That's what you're going to see taking place in this setting here. Question three, did the Israelites trust God when they saw the army? Susie, no, they did not. They forgot how powerful the plagues were, as Don alluded to. And they wished they were still slaves. That's kind of sad, isn't it? Especially after what they had seen. Day number two. Let's pick up in verse 13. Who's already, anybody turned there already? It's got a good, strong reading voice. Are you there, Glenn? 13 to 30. Do what? Is that too much? Very good. You probably should get a clap too, you guys. That was a lot of reading. Who wants to share here some thoughts? The Lord fought for Israel here on day number two. Who has some insights before we get to the questions? A lot in there that's taking place.
Thank you.
people would have had a whole lot of different things going through their mind to step out there. And how did he divide that, first off?
Strong wind.
Came from the east, it says. So imagine that pillar, first off, lifting up, going over your camp, and setting down between you and the Egyptians. That was their number one fear, remember. The enemy was approaching. And we took care of that. The light, the fire part was on this side. The cloud dark part was on that side. They couldn't see anything. And then you have the wind. The east wind come through. And in order for an east wind to come through to be that strong to blow the water, it would have to be a pretty strong wind. And so that thing would be sweeping through. And that would have been incredible, folks. I pray and I hope God allows us, through however God allows us, to witness these things in real life, you know. It will be better than Charlton Heston's, all right? I want to see the real thing. I want to see that thing come through and just lift that water and keep it as a wall.
Hold his mighty hand.
Yeah. And the ground is as solid and dry as what we've got our feet on right now, after it should have been boggy and muddy, you know. And they're walking over. Imagine the kids. Imagine Raymond walking through there, wanting to touch the water or whatever. You know what I'm saying? There would be, yeah, running their hands along like you do a picket fence with a stick, you know. It would have been really incredibly cool. And yet, a little bit, oh, man, what if they come down crashing on us? Looking it all up. And by the way, this is all, and remember, everything that God does in deliverance of you and me in any situation, he will be faithful in. Y'all agree to that? But he's also using that as a stepping stone for you to trust him when the next situation arises, because it's going to be a river next time. At its flood stage, that they're going to have to trust in. So it's just incredible that as you and I are going through afflictions and trials and testings, and by the way, the testing of your faith, the testing of my faith, is never done by Satan. It's always done by God, the testing of your faith. Who else has a thought here? A lot of people. Yeah, it makes you even wonder how wide it was that wind blew that, has that as a wall, and then you're just walking right on through, just like, look at this. I mean, it would be, folks, that was a huge miracle. Huge miracle. No wonder Moses was known as one of the greatest prophets. Doyle. Correct. 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 You know, there's an interesting thought there, because there was a lot of people that were attacking that miracle, saying it was just a little bit of water, which then somebody finally came back and said, okay, let's just say you're right, it's a little bit of water. Then the miracle took place when a little bit of water drowned a whole army. You know, Bob.
If you remember back when one did the Moses teaching, he had a big picture up there about the depth of the
Red Sea.
There is a part that I think wouldn't go up on 620 feet. It's pretty deep. That one makes sense. Because the rest of the river is shallow compared to, that probably wouldn't happen with words we read precisely.
Correct.
I'm just thinking about when they saw that happen, the faith they must have had, because they weren't trampling each other to get across. Because if you think of, you know, today's time and things happen, everybody trampled.
Correct.
People die.
Yeah.
And they weren't.
Yeah, it was done very orderly.
Yeah.
Just like she said, a wall and everybody.
Yep. Yep, I think it was nobody. It's just incredible. Debbie. Yeah. It's by the way, it was made mention that there had been evidence of where they have found chariot wheels and everything else at the Red Sea, all covered in coral and everything. So it's a genuine situation. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it's all genuine. Amen. They're not proving anything. They're just confirming what God already said had happened. All right, let's look at some questions here. How did Moses answer the fearful and angry Israelites? Question number one, how did he answer them? Yep. Okay. There you go. Sometimes God wants us to do those things. In the midst of our things, when we want to get all worked up, we're all guilty of that. God just says, I want you, you need to be quiet. Stand firm.
Be still and know that I am God.
That's right. Psalm 16. So sometimes that's the best thing. Question two, how did God save the Israelites? We all know that one. How did he save them? Yep, right there. How did God protect Israel while they were crossing? How did he keep them protected while crossing? Rusty. Correct, correct. And by the way, he did not open up the door for the Egyptians to come until they were all across, all right? Very important there. That way the Israelites, and it doesn't say it in the King James Bible, but in other versions, it says once they crossed the other side, they and they lifted it where they could come through, they were all going, nanny, nanny, boo-boo. And that made them mad, and they came rushing over there. That's why it drove their chariot wheels so hard. And there was a, people think different ways. There was a guy who taught on the Red Sea crossing, and the little boy got home, and they're eating dinner. And he says, Daddy, I got a question. He goes, what? He goes, when Moses led the children of Israel across the Red Sea, were they all riding their big wheels? He goes, what? He goes, were they riding their big wheels? He goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, Moses led the children of Israel. So he was picturing, as a little kid, he was picturing that these were kids that Moses was leading. That would be quite a journey, wouldn't it? So children have to have things explained to them. Matter of fact, Althea was doing some teaching in there with Raymond and with, what's the little girl's name? Allie? I can't remember. Huh? Bella was one of them. And she was explaining how they had, Jesus healed the man with the leper sores, you know. And one of the girls, I think it was Bella, said, what is leprosy? And Althea says, they're sores. And she goes, what are sores? She didn't even know what sores were. She goes, they were something. What did she say? And then she goes, oh, you mean owies. But when you're teaching kids, they're visualizing at a whole different level, so you have to be able to explain it a little bit better. Question four, what happened to Pharaoh's powerful army? They are what? All gone. They all drowned. Now again, I want you to understand, they began in their, this is what happens when you let anger blind you and revenge blind you. They stormed over there, man. And as they're getting in that thing and they're committed to it, man, there was no, once they saw what was happening, and they saw Moses do this, they knew it was over. And they tried to get turned around. And what happened to the waters? They came crashing down upon them. Folks, we have seen recently the power of water. Kerr County and all of that. That was so devastating to my heart. They're still showing pictures of those on my feed of young kids and stuff. It's just sad. You see the power of water. And it came and it crashed down. All the army, imagine, they left all their family, their wives, their children back home, still weeping over their losses and the devastation, waiting for them to return. And not a single soldier, not even Pharaoh, came back that day. Folks, we have a God that will protect us. He'll do a great job at protecting us as well. He'll do a thorough job. And we just must trust and rest in Him. Anybody real quick before we go to day three?
They sank as lead in the sea, and then they sank right to the bottom.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes if water pours in on you, you would think it would push you up, but not this time, this way.
Yep, it drowned them, and then it says that later that they saw them all over the seashore and where they washed the shore and stuff. Yep. Day number three we have here is Israel saying praises to the Lord. Very good for them. We won't take time because of what we have here, but I want you to look at some of these questions here. How did God rescue Israel? I think we got that one pretty well covered there. He parted the Red Sea that they crossed on dry land. What did the people do after God saved them? Who wants that one? Peggy, they sang. What do you think they sang? Well, you don't even have to think. It tells us what they sang. That the Lord, listen to what they're singing, that the Lord, they're keeping Him first now, has triumphed gloriously. Folks, that ought to become a passage of Scripture that we're familiar with, that the Lord is a triumphant, glorious God on our behalf. And anybody have any thoughts on that? I mean, they're now singing. By the way, who led that? Miriam did. For any of us that have a problem with women song leaders, what? Now, let's get into some contemporary discussion here, all right? Is it wrong to have a woman lead the music? Now, I know I don't want to cause a contention here. Some are going to say no, some are going to say yes.
Betty Wallace.
Huh?
Betty Wallace did.
Betty Wallace did, yeah. I don't think it is. But I've always, here's our problem. I was saved and always was in a church where it was a man leading. With, and I'm not saying good or bad, they were all good men that led too. The thing what I'm getting at is that can become a doctrinal view instead of a traditional view.
Preference.
Yeah. The church that I filled in when I was gone for those weeks, it was a woman who led it. There was no guys that had the ability. And I'm just saying, I grew up, by the way, all the piano players were men at our churches. So we've got all women, not a single guy that plays the piano here.
Do you have Rudy Atwood?
No. So let me ask you this question. Should we take our ladies that are talented and have them sit down and have Glenn and Bud and Don do the piano? I'm just saying, it's all about praising God. And here's what's going on. She gets going, Miriam gets going, and she begins to lead, and all the women get involved. And I love it, amen? They are singing, they're praising. Basically, they're celebrating that the past is over, and we begin a new journey. What was it, real quickly, who can tell me, what was it that Moses told them about the Egyptians? You will see them no more. What? Forever. You'll never have this problem again. Praise God, there's coming a day when forever we'll never have to deal with some of this junk down here. Amen? And day number four, Moses led the people out of Egypt, it says, by faith. Let's jump over to Hebrews 11. And it's a short enough text here. Hebrews 11. Is it raining? Sure is. Praise the Lord for that. Amen? They said they were supposed to get some. I don't want any of you guys driving in this rain, so I'll take my time here. Look at verse 27. Verse 27, Hebrews 11. Glenn's going, how come I don't get to read this short portion? By faith, he, Moses, forsook Egypt, verse 27, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I like that. Seeing him who's invisible. Seeing him who you can't see. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should, look what it says, touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, the same to do, were drowned. Three things he talks about here in Hebrews. He looked forward to seeing the invisible God. He maintained the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, because of the firstborn situation. Remember that story just a week or so ago. By the way, I want you to catch that said here in Hebrews. What would have happened had they not kept the Passover? There would be firstborns in every Egyptian family killed too. Okay? He says it very clearly here. Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And that the Egyptians were destroyed. So here we have question number one. How did Moses show that he feared God? He simply, according to these three verses, he followed the commands of the Lord. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And how did Moses and the people demonstrate their faith in the Lord at the Passover? Who can tell me real quick? Peggy? By the blood, at blood application. And then how did Moses and the people demonstrate their faith at the Red Sea? Went just like this. Moses said, go forward, and they went like that. They took that first step. It always takes the first step to get you the rest of the way through. All right, almost out of time here. Oops, day five. Through Jesus, a believer passes from death to life. John chapter 5, last one. And we'll close it out here. Did I pass something? Oh, nowhere? Praise the Lord for porticos, amen? But somebody still has to sacrifice themselves to go get the car. Peggy's going, that's me. John 5. He says in verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. How did God save Israel from Pharaoh? Correct. Yep, no, you're right. And then how does Jesus save those who believe? John. Oh, that's not John back there. Yeah. Helps us to cross from death unto life. Folks, understand how that ties in with our lesson. Had they stayed on this side of the Red Sea, death, right? The Egyptians were coming. God makes a way, they cross over, kills them off. Death takes death, that what was going to kill them, and gives them life to go on. And then the last question is, who crosses from death to life? Everyone that what? Accepts Christ as Savior. Next week, we're going to see that God preserves Israel. We got the manna, we got the quail, all those things. Don?
Interesting comparisons. The Israelites were told,
wait, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and part of the waters. But when they went across the Jordan, the priests had to step into the water.
Correct.
Before it was parted.
Correct. That's true.
A little more maturity.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. All right. Continue to work on your lesson this week coming up. And let's go ahead and close in prayer. How's that sound? Take your time going outside. If you have something that, how many of you had the gift of service out of curiosity? There's quite a few people had service. Holler at me. I'll give you my keys to my truck. And thanks, Janet. She so willingly volunteers. Father, we love you. We thank you for your love and mercy. We thank you for this rain, Lord. You have sent it. Evidently, we are definitely in need of it. And we ask, Father, that you'll just give everyone safety as we head out now, Lord. In the wetness, dear Father, keep us safe on the highways. They'll be slippery with the road oil and the water mix. We just pray give us safe trips home now. And thank you for this day, Lord. It was a good day. In Jesus' name, amen.